What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the world famous Comedy Store here in Hollywood, California for another episode of Comedy Store Wrestling. My name is Eddie Torres, and today I'm steering the ship all by myself. The inappropriate one is pulling the old man card. He's off on assignment, whatever that means. But I am being joined by a very special guest today, New Japan's own Royce Isaacs. How are you?
Thanks for having me, Eddie. It's good to be here.
Yeah, man. Isaacs or Isaac?
Royce Isaacs.
Isaacs with
There's
an S.
Multiples of me.
Or is it Hoyce?
Well, we're talking about blood sports, so maybe Hoyce would be appropriate in the blood sport setting.
Hell yeah. Yeah, you have a big match coming up. Bloodsport 9, Josh Barnett's Bloodsport at the Ukrainian Cultural Center. They need to rename that place. Keep it Ukrainian, but, you know, something else cool. Cultural Center just does not sound like...
I know. I wrestled in an Irish cultural center, a Ukrainian cultural center, and like Punjabi cultural learning center once. So for some reason, it's wrestling venues are often cultural centers.
Yeah, or Legion Halls.
And yeah, honestly, mostly Legion Halls and like school gymnasiums.
School gymnasiums. Well, I guess the Pyramid at Long Beach is kind of a school gymnasium, right?
That was pretty cool, though.
That's a cool venue.
Like, that's, yeah.
I wouldn't even
put that in there.
Yeah. But, like, I don't think I've been to an indie wrestling show out of school yet.
Well, bless you.
Yeah, right?
You're going to the good ones then. Yeah.
I've done a lot of, you know, random auditoriums and, like, bars. Sure. There's a lot of that happening in LA now. Barroom Blitz. Shout out to Circle Six for putting on that madness. But anyway, March 30th, you're going to be at the Ukraine, and you're facing a friend of the show, Johnny Bloodsport. Johnny Comedy when he's here. Johnny, whatever, wherever the fuck he is, that's his last name. So what are your thoughts on that? I mean, when the first time that he did Bloodsport, I was kind of surprised because he's more of a high flyer, and there's no ropes. There's no jumping around.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely, like, he comes from, obviously he has a wrestling background. He wrestled in college, and all respect to that because I did too, and it's the hardest sport in the world. But he's definitely, like, embraced that more parkour side of things as of late. And you know, I think this is kind of like a style versus substance kind of matchup is how I see it. Like, I don't think he's going to be able to do a, you know, one of those, whatever, what do they call them, poles or whatever, the flag poles, you know. It's like, he's not going to do that and kick me in the head, you know. Like, I'll just jump on top of him and elbow him out if that's the case. So, I mean, I guess I'm interested to see what he tries to pull out, because I know he's going to try to do some dumb stuff against me. But I'm excited, because I guess when it was first announced, it's like, okay, cool. And then I thought about it, and it's like, this is, like, really my first big name at Bloodsport. Like, it's a big opportunity for me, because there should be extra eyes and extra spotlight on me. When I first thought about it, I didn't immediately go to, oh, this is a big name, because when I think about people, I think about Bloodsport, and I think about someone like, it's like I've wrestled Bad Dude Tito, or I've wrestled Alex Coghlan, and it's like, those are bad motherfuckers.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, that's not an easy day for anyone. They're tough.
But you've wrestled them in other organizations. Like, I've seen you, like, in New Japan or whatever, New
Sure.
Japan Strong. Or
right. Yeah. And so, like, the name part didn't even really occur to me, because I'm just thinking of, like, it's Bloodsport. I'm thinking of who's, like, the toughest. Mm. And, like, those guys, to me, were, like, these really complex, like, you know, nuts to crack, kind of, to figure out, okay, how do I get to the inside here? With Johnny, it's like, oh, actually, he is this big, big name. Let's see him back it up. I think, honestly, there's more pressure on him than there is on me. Everyone knows what I bring to Bloodsport.
Yeah.
His might be glitzed up and flashy, but, like, I'm going to make him fight my fight. Yeah. I'm going to ground him. I'm going to make him fight the way that I fight. He's not just going to be cartwheeling around and flying through the air and whatever. So it's like, he needs to also earn his respect at Bloodsport.
Oh,
to me, like, the Twitter may not feel that way because Twitter's a popularity contest.
Yeah.
But yeah. Bloodsport is Bloodsport, and Bloodsport doesn't care about a popularity contest.
That's right. It's hard hitting. Yeah, I mean, we've been promoting Bloodsport here since day one. I mean, our first guest on the show was Barnett, so that's my favorite type of pro wrestling. You know, I like the hard hitting. I like the ultra realism. You know, violence, I know it makes me sound weird, but it's just, it's so exciting to be in a room where that's going down. Because, you know, WWE stuff or even AEW, you know, it's more flash, it's more presentation, it's more like, ooh, look at the crazy flips and the moves, and that's awesome. I'm not disrespecting that. That's just a different thing.
Yeah.
I'm more into the harder hitting.
I think it's like there's much of like a music crossover for a lot of your listeners, but like if you are, I'm a big rap fan, and it's like there's some like really popular rap that is like technically it's done fine and it's like it's very catchy and it becomes a big hit and whatever, but then there's like these people that a lot of people have never necessarily heard of that are like insane at putting words together, that can rap better than any top 200 Billboard artists or whatever. Someone like, I'm a big fan of like a Copyright. He's a guy from Ohio that's an underground guy that's been around forever. The way he can actually put together words is undoubtedly better than anyone that's on the radio right now. This is the same kind of thing where it's like you have to look for all these intricate details of people actually in a fight, in a struggle, two people going head to head. You're not going to see a bunch of flips and all this stuff off the top rope because that's not going to cut it here. Because you're going to have to look at, okay, what's the little intricate, amazing, okay, wow, he put the double wrist lock on and he stepped over his head to get the leverage to actually apply it. We're not just slapping on stuff and throwing it around and jumping. It's none of that. It's, you really have to be like a connoisseur of the sport and like care about the details. So it's like, yeah, it may not be the most, like everyone doesn't get it like a pop song that's really catchy and whatever, but if you understand, like if you're a connoisseur and you really look for the flavors and like see what's deeper in there, it's really got something for wrestling fans.
Yeah, hell yeah, man. I mean, it's like I said, I've been a fan since day one, not just because Josh is a boy and everything. It's just the style. It's what that's what got me into New Japan. Like I've said it multiple times here. Usually Earl's over there and we got John in the booth. Both are missing today. John is a big WWE guy, okay, and Earl's an AEW guy. I'm the New Japan guy. So, okay. And it's always been, you know, I just, there's nothing like it. Are you wearing a Suzuki shirt?
Yeah, Pile Driver. Got it from the shop in Harajuku. Nice. So if anyone's out in Harajuku, definitely go check it out. This is actually like my favorite dry fit. It's really nice.
Hell yeah. You had a one-on-one match with Suzuki.
I did. He's a, speaking of bad motherfuckers, that is the baddest, the murder grandpa for a reason, and an absolute master in there. It's like the most painful lesson you'll ever get in your life, like actually physically painful lesson, yep, that you'll ever get in your life. And that's a guy that I watched from like Pancrase back in the day. Like I was a fan back then. Like the length of career he's managed to have, and I don't know, just like you talk about someone that like from A to Z knows it all and has mastered it all. That is Suzuki. And the fact that he can just go into any room in a place where he barely even like speaks the language and command every single person's attention.
Mm-hmm.
It's a true, like he is a black belt in life.
Belt in life. I like that.
Yeah.
I saw him. He was here for another blood sport. I forget what number, but I was out there and Josh was like, hey, just hang out with Suzuki for a bit. And I'm standing there. I'm just like, sir, can I get you anything? He's like, beer. I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
Run and get him a beer. And he like grabbed my wrist to like show me something. And it hurt like hell. Yes. I'm like, dude, no, nope. I'm not, don't do that to me.
Maybe it was before 7 or 8, which one of the blood sports, he was like, he was just there hanging out and just started kind of giving like a,
oh, right. I was there.
I think that was maybe 7.
Probably 7. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like, put one guy in like a wrist, like they're like, ah, like he's killing everyone. Oh, all right, show you this. And then he gets to me and he goes, oh, I'm sorry, this one maybe hurt a lot. And I'm like, you just killed everyone. How bad is this one gonna hurt if you're warning me beforehand? Yeah. It was like a crazy head scissors. It was like really, I use that when I roll now. I try to do that. Not as well as him, but
no. In the match, is it as hard hitting as it seems from him? Because like I've heard stories from other, I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but there's other wrestlers that look tough on TV,
yeah,
but are actually not hitting that hard.
Yeah,
is he hitting you that hard?
Yeah. No, he's the real deal. My biggest goal, other than making it out alive still, was not to get the fucking young boy directed at me. He just told me to fuck off, so that was pretty cool. I was like, all right, I avoided fucking young boy. I'm okay now.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're saying that Johnny Bloodsport is the biggest name in terms of, you know, wrestling, I guess, right?
That in at Bloodsport, that's the biggest name I've had for sure.
What's the biggest name you've had overall?
Suzuki.
Suzuki?
Bar none. Minoru Suzuki is the biggest name I've ever been in a wrestling ring with.
Now, Suzuki is, for me, obviously, the biggest name. But in terms of, like, a general public, like, the people that aren't New Japan fans that are just maybe watching what's on TV most of the time.
Okay. Oh, if you're watching what's on TV, I had a match with Arya Daivari right before the Cruiserweight. It might have been, he was either right before or right after the Cruiserweight Classic. That's someone that people would know. Paul London, if they're from the, like the generation before that.
Paul London's been here. He's been on the show.
He's the man. Yeah. No, much love to Paul. Yeah, probably so, like those people, like, you know, Jeff Cobb. I wrestled Will Ospreay in Japan, so.
Oh, that's right. I had that on my nose.
Yeah, so actually that should have been the obvious, the Billy Goat.
Was it one-on-one or was it, that tag. Was a tag match?
It was, yeah, it was him and Oka versus me and Tom.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, Team Filthy. For those that don't know.
Motherfucking Filthy.
He's in Team Filthy with Tom Lawler, former UFC, actual legit, you know, MMA guy. That, you know, like Barnett. I think that's the beauty of Bloodsport is that combination of like MMA. Yes. And pro wrestling.
Yeah. Getting back to its roots.
Yeah, that's what it should be. You know, I don't know. I know that it's not the biggest spectacle like what's coming that weekend, that same weekend. What is it? The grandest stage of them all. But you should definitely be checking out Bloodsport if you're in LA for Mania Week. So let's see. We also have you had, what do I have here? You have a match with Kushida and Alex Shelley. Kushida's a big name. An Ultimo Dragon, right?
Yeah, an Ultimo Dragon. Oh, actually, I have been in the ring with Ultimo Dragon before, so that's obviously got to be up there as far as biggest
the original
names.
Belt collector.
It was, oh my gosh, who was I tagging with? I think it was like me and Vinny Massaro against Jungle Boy and Ultimo Dragon.
What the fuck?
I know. This is like years ago. This is like years ago, though. This was at Pro Wrestling Revolution. I think Vinny might have even been like Ultimo Panda or something for the match.
Really?
And this is like Jungle Boy before he got signed or whatever. Like, obviously, that was still Jungle Boy. He just wasn't, like, everyone didn't know, oh, that's Jungle Boy.
Yeah. Right, right, right.
So it was all, like, us kind of, like, still trying to, like, figure it out and get known and whatever. And then motherfucking Ultimo Dragon's right there. I don't even know if the footage exists. I had, like, a highlight reel somewhere that might be on, like, an old YouTube channel or something. But, like, I think it was on Twitch, and then the Twitch stream got taken down. So, like, I don't even know if the footage... Gabe Ramirez probably has it somewhere, because that's the promoter for Revolution. But it was honestly a hell of a match. That was a good time. But yeah, that six-man coming up at Prestige will be a really big one. I'm really enjoying doing the Team Filthy six-mans with Tom and my tag partner, Jarrell Nelson. They've been really awesome. So, getting... And even like we did a six man in New York for New Japan. We did a six man earlier this year for West Coast Pro. We have a six man coming up this weekend at Grandel, and then getting to roll that into like a big name six man matchup with a legend, and then honestly, in my opinion, two future legends. Like to me, Kushida and Alex Shelley, and Sabin for that matter, who's not in the match, but just in general, like that whole. Time Machine Gun, like they're
the
those
time
guys.
Time Splitters, yeah.
Time Splitters and Machine Motor City Machine Guns are like as good as it gets for tag team wrestling. Like I say that because I've wrestled the Motor City Machine Guns and I have a lot of respect for them. But like, damn it, I want to beat them. But talk about like first ballot Hall of Famers to me. Like crazy, crazy good careers, influenced tag team wrestling forever. Like to me, they're like that. Kind of like the Rockers, where they changed how tag team wrestling went, like the kind of the face of tag team wrestling.
Yeah, man. I didn't realize until not too long ago how long Motor City Machine Guns have been going.
Yeah.
They've been going for a while.
Yeah. And I mean, gosh, I have to put those guys up there on in terms of like biggest names to work because at West Coast Pro last year, Jarrell and I were like their first indie match in 10 years, which was like a huge, huge honor. And we got to run it back on New Japan Strong. We're still searching for a victory, but we're gonna catch up to them one of these days.
Speaking of New Japan Strong, I mean, I've heard rumors that it's going away. Like, what's going on?
It's just changing. It's just changing formats. So like, rather than we were doing like a lot of like taping style where it would be like whatever like 10, 13 matches and they kind of break them up and release episodes.
Yeah, I've been to a few of those tapings. They're a little long.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And honestly, for like, I've been on some other program taping. Like, sometimes tapings are just really, really long. Those were actually fairly concise, but tapings are always long because you're filming a lot of content for a lot of weeks. Mm-hmm. It's switching to a format where they're going to do pay-per-views. And then if you don't get the pay-per-view, it will be released on New Japan World in an episodic format still. So it's like kind of still going to be similar, but it definitely is going to be different. And like, certainly it's going to make the shows a lot tighter in terms of like, if you're doing a New Japan pay-per-view, ain't no schlubbing, ain't no, not that there was anything like that on Strike. I just mean it's like, it's really even amped up a level more, I should say, in terms of like, really it's like the top talent and everyone's fighting for a spot and it's as competitive as it can get locker room wise. But you know, we just got Battle of the Valley was a few weeks ago. We came up, me and Jarrell came up short in our bid for the tag gold, but I do think we acquitted ourselves well. I have no doubts we'll be back and we'll be part of the fold. I really do think that Team Filthy has been such a standard, like the gold standard for New Japan Strong, like the big new faction that has come out of Strong and that has kind of helped carry the show. So I know we'll be around. I know Filthy Tom will be around. Like, Team Filthy's still going strong.
Hell yeah. I mean, I've been to a few of those tapings. My only thing I always tell Rock is like, hey man, you know, these are great, but I think the reason the fans are maybe not, I don't want to say unhappy. It's just that I guess people want more of the New Japan stars to come from over from Japan. But it's like we had issues with the, you know, the pandemic and the travel and everything. So I think if they start amping it up with the pay-per-views and, you know, throw in a couple more stars from Japan, it's going
to
be great.
Yeah. I mean, the people in San Jose literally got to see Okada and Tanahashi go at it. So it's like,
that's amazing.
That's a New Japan pay-per-view on any continent. You know what I mean? And I was also obviously the second main as well between Mercedes and Kairi Sane was phenomenal. Yeah. That was a great match. It's like those are premium matches that's a pay-per-view right there.
Oh yeah.
So Strong ain't going nowhere, but it's definitely gonna be pay-per-views and they're gonna be really, really top cards. If people are asking for more of that New Japan proper talent, there's gonna be a whole lot more of that for sure all the way through.
Well, as long as they keep, at least every once in a while, keep coming over here to the Vermont so I can go see it. That'd be awesome.
Well, they just announced Long Beach, actually back at the old Pyramid.
Oh,
in May, nice. May 21st. So.
Okay. The Pyramid's dope. I like it. Yeah. I know that the seating is a little weird. It's like bleacher seating, but still, it's just cool to be inside of a pyramid and watching wrestling. Last time I went, they had like sumo. The day after they had a whole sumo tournament there.
I also like pyramids. The Luxor in Vegas is cool because it's in a pyramid. Like, I'm into it.
Yeah, that bummed me out though when I saw it turn into like a giant Bass Pro Shop though.
Wait, is it really?
Like, no, it's not. But they put ads now on the front of the building, and it had a giant Bass Pro Shop logo. And I'm like, come on.
Yeah, like, yeah.
That's awful. Oh man. Bloodsport. I want to go back to that. You know, it's not Mox's first run at Bloodsport. He's been there before, but I think it's worth mentioning that, you know, he's doing it again and, you know, he's a big, obviously big name. Is there any other name in like the other bigger companies that you would want to see in a Bloodsport ring that maybe you would want to face? Damn. I mean, aside from Mox, obviously.
Yeah. Of course. Someone like that. I'm trying to think, who are they like, big like shooters that are at any of the names.
Samoa Joe.
Oh yeah, that'd be great.
I'd like to see him in there.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that would be like a very natural fit. I mean, like obviously like people like Riddle and whatever coming back would be great, but I think he's busy making money and doing his own thing and whatever. And
he's busy taking time off right now.
He's taking a little personal time. That's fine. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, those brothers at WWE, what are their names?
The Good Brothers?
No, I don't think they probably want to drink a beer. I don't think they want to shoot double legs on me.
No.
No, the Creed brothers.
Oh, the Creed brothers.
Yeah, they got a really good background. I think they would be obvious fits, but yeah,
that'd be cool.
By all means, make their money at WWE and do their thing. But hey, if that doesn't work out, I think Bloodsport would be like a really obvious good fit for them. I don't know. I mean, honestly, I think the good thing about Bloodsport is you can kind of take anyone and give them a style clash and just kind of drop them in the deep end and see if they swim. But there's no one that really, like, I guess necessarily stands out to me. It's not like when Kevin Cross was like, Dave Bautista, step in the ring. It's like, well, I know that's not going to happen. He's busy making Guardians of the Galaxy or whatever. So
yeah. It'd be cool to see Brock in there.
It would be amazing. Yeah. Can you imagine Brock versus Josh?
I'd pay for the deluxe package of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I will throw one out there selfishly. I would love to wrestle Ziggler.
Oh yeah.
In any format, but especially cause he was a badass shooter.
Yeah.
So I would love to wrestle him at Bloodsport. He's too busy making millions of dollars and enjoying himself. And I'm sure he has way bigger fish to fry than Royce Isaacs. But hey,
I don't know, man.
Dolph,
you know,
if you're sick of making all that money and you're really sick of money, you've made enough, your boy Royce Isaacs would love to have a Bloodsport match with you.
Hey, he's a friend of the show, and he'll be here March 30th. Him and his brother are doing Hunkamania here in the belly room. You know, if you want to come out here and challenge him, I'll put a camera on you both.
I'm sure he would really he would really appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
He wouldn't at all be like, you're dead to me, and I'm going to have you blacklisted from anywhere that I can.
No, I think you should, while he's up there doing stand-up, you should go and interrupt his set and just...
What comedian doesn't love that?
Yeah, everybody loves that shit. okay, that's cool. So, you know, we've talked about the WWE and all that. I mean, is that not on your radar for the future at all? So I know some people don't ever even think about it. I don't care. But there's also other, you know, wrestlers that's like their Super Bowl. It's a Mania moment, whatever. I want to be in a Mania. Is that something you think about?
Yeah. Of course, I would always consider it. The possibility is always open. To me, my end goal, my Mania, whatever you want to call it, was always New Japan. That was always the style that appealed to me and what I liked. But also, like, I would like to own a property one day. And California is very expensive.
Yes.
And wrestling is wrestling at the end of the day. I love, love, love wrestling for New Japan, but I love, love, love wrestling. And I just want to wrestle. And so if doing something like that would help extend my career and build my value, absolutely. Of course, I would consider that. I don't think I'm necessarily on their radar. Like if I was, I feel like I'd be getting text calls or emails or something like, hey, we're interested or we want to bring you in for a tryout. Like I did a tryout in 2016, but I was like really new to wrestling. I was really green. I don't think I was ready for it. I think that would go a lot differently now. But also, I don't know. Like, it seems like they're doing totally fine there. Like, I know they're starting to look at indie guys again,
yeah.
Sort of, kind of. But it doesn't seem like they're, like, it doesn't seem like something that they're super, like, out there scouting for 34-year-old Royce Isaacs. But I have a hell of a lot left in the tank. I plan on actively wrestling till at least 50. And they say your prime earning years are your early 40s. So all I'm saying is never say never. WWE, if you're interested, hey, holler at your boy. Let's make some money.
Yeah, there you go. Were you part of the whole, when AEW brought in like some new Japan folks, were you part of that?
Like a little kind of sort of. This was during the pandemic, actually. So way before Forbidden Door, but like me and Ren Narita had like a, I don't know, like a 10-minute match, 12-minute match.
Dark match or something?
Yeah, it was for like Elevation, I want to say.
Okay.
So I did a little bit of stuff with AEW during the pandemic, but that was about it. Like they were just in town up north and didn't hear anything from them there. But I mean,
they've not shown interest for like Forbidden Door 2 or more work, because they're working a lot more with New Japan. So
yeah, I mean, I think that obviously we should be in that mix. I don't really know how Tony like feels about, or if we're really on his radar. Like, and if we're not, then that's fine. Like, that just means we have to work even harder and get on that radar. But if so, I think he's really, if he is asleep, if he doesn't know who we are, if he doesn't know the West Coast Wrecking Crew, at least be like aware of our presence. Like maybe he's also writing a bunch of TV and he has hundreds of people on his payroll to worry about and all that stuff.
And a football club and a soccer club. Yeah. Guys, I don't even know how the fuck he does any of it.
Tony Khan should definitely know who the fuck the West Coast Wrecking Crew are.
Yeah.
Like, I agree. I think that we are right there in terms of top tag teams. Like, in terms of unsigned tag teams, who the fuck else is there, really? Like, that's even, like, really on their level. I'm not counting someone like Aussie Open, obviously, is now going over to AEW and doing a lot of stuff over there. But in terms of, like, the rest of the wasteland that's left, like, I think we clearly stand head and shoulders above everyone else. And so, I don't know, I want to keep doing the stuff with New Japan, but also, like, especially AEW, it's like they work together, so the door is open. I would... I'd love to go through that forbidden door. Why not?
Yeah, man. I think it'd be great. And you know, even WWE's playing with the door every once in a while.
Hey, yeah, no, like Carl Anderson did a few dates for New Japan while he was like, it's like you never really know. And like, also when you hear about negotiations after the fact, who was it? Someone was talking about like they were at least in negotiations to do the G1 like years ago. Who was it? Maybe like Cesaro or something like that. Probably. Or like. It was like
Daniel Bryan or something.
Right. There's always like, as the sport evolves and everything. I mean, look at New Japan itself. Is like there's people in NOAH right now. There's people in All Japan. Mm-hmm. They're doing the big junior festival where there's crossover from every single Japanese promotion, basically, like every big promotion. So it seems like doors in general are more open than they've ever been. So I'm love doors, man. I can open them. Great.
All right. Well, I have a couple questions. One of them you already kind of answered. I was going to ask you who the hardest hitting opponent you've had, but I'm assuming Suzuki is that person. But if not, who would be one of the hardest hitting that like next day you were feeling it pretty hard?
Tyler Bateman. He's up there.
Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah. I like him.
Tyler Bateman is definitely, but that's like, I don't know. That's my boy. Like,
that's a dude that's been, I've seen him in the local scene for a long time too, man.
Yeah, I was really glad when he got signed with ROH and he got to show that off nationally a little bit. And I would like to see him get another opportunity like that because I think he's a great talent and I think he has a lot to offer. If you like someone that just like, is like, he's like a serial killer that he just like stalks his prey and he chops you down and he beats the shit out of you. And it's, I love watching it. If anyone likes bloody wrestling, which I know is a controversial topic right now, we have a bull rope match on, it's on YouTube somewhere. So
it's okay. I mean, what, bloody matches? I mean, Mox bleeds on TV every week. It's insane.
He bleeds thinking too hard. It's crazy.
Good Lord, man. It's not a Mox match unless it's bleeding from the face profusely.
Him and Filthy Tom from Defy, did you see that? That was like maybe one of the bloodiest matches I've ever seen. Like there was a part where I think Tom was in like a rear naked or something, and you saw the spraying out the front. Like every time he squeezed more, it was
I'm wondering what that like, because that happened with Evil Uno too with Mox. Like he did a bulldog choke, and you just see it fucking squirting out. It's like my goodness, I don't know if that's like. He found the correct vein that, you know.
Apparently, he sure has.
You crack it open
exactly.
And then.
Position.
I also put here Mitzvah Mania.
Mm. Yes, I am. I am part of the tribe, so I am taking part. It's it's the Jewish WrestleMania. It's all of us Jewish athletes, and there are a lot of us in wrestling. And there's even like I know Anthony Green is in Japan, so he's not in town to make it. And there's a few others that aren't going to be around. But everyone, I think, except for Billy Starks, which we have time to convert her. But she's the champion for the promotion, so they had to have her on the show. But I'm wrestling Jack Cartwheel, which I'm very excited for. I asked for this matchup to be honest because I have respect for his work. I know he's like I don't want to say young up and comer because he's a few years into the game, but he is like definitely younger than me and he's done some crazy stuff already. I know he wrestles a lot in Mexico. Obviously he's been on PWG for a minute. I have a lot of respect for his abilities. He's a guy that also is a big style clash in terms of he's definitely much more of a flyer and like plyometrics kind of person. But I think especially in that format, it is really fun to have that kind of styles clash between someone that does the kind of crazy stuff that he can do and the kind of gritty, big suplexes, mat technician, painful submission hold kind of stuff that I do.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I'm extra bummed that Earl's not here. You know, you guys could have talked a little bit more about the tribe and everything. And, you know, shout out to Superstars of David, that the big fans of the show.
Are they really?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They follow me on Insta, and they shamed me one time because I was eating bacon.
Yeah, they always talk about kicking Earl's tuchus. all right, so what's the most painful spot you've ever taken?
When I was maybe like 6 months into like my active career, maybe I was a little bit deeper into the, I don't know. I was still very green, and a guy gave me a suplex wrong and put me down directly onto my shoulder, and it separated, grade 3 separation, and that really, really sucked. Yeah, that was probably the most painful thing. In a wrestling ring, I've been, you know, fairly lucky as far as those things go. Other than, you know, everyone gets banged up. You get, oh, my neck's sore. Oh, I got a concussion, whatever. But, like,
just a concussion. No big
deal. Yeah, what is CT? You know, it's a movie, right?
It's like, fine. It's, just a little brain bleeding. Everybody gets that.
Yeah. Yeah, come on.
So, let me go. Fuck the questions, but you're... Your build, you're big dude. You're jacked. So, is that help with injuries? Does that help with injuries? Like having more muscle, does that prevent more stuff from breaking, or does it make it more difficult for you?
I have found that there's a certain amount of like leanness. If I diet too much, it's like, yeah, I look really good in my singlet and whatever in my trunks, but everything hurts more. For sure. Like there's a fine line of insulation of like, okay, obviously I don't want to be put on too much bulk, and then it's like I can't use my speed at all and I'm gassing out sooner and whatever. But also on the opposite end, if I lean out too much, it's definitely detrimental. Like I will give all the credit in the world to people like Jordan Grace and Hammerstone and Gresham, who are like dieting and competing while also wrestling. Cause I have to imagine, I've never been nearly that lean, and I have to imagine actually actively wrestling has to be miserable when you're that lean. Not even going into how like mentally miserable it is to like not have any right. carbs, and you have to go out there and throw people around and do all this stuff and perform. But yeah, I mean, I think that for the most part, one thing that has helped me is having some good muscle mass. Like I definitely, when I separated my shoulder, I think it was a pretty serious separation, but it was only still maybe like 3 months between matches, like pretty much almost exactly, because I was rehabbing almost immediately. Cause it's like, all right, well, I have a good trap muscle. I have a good shoulder and a good back. Even if the AC joint is all out of whack, I have to go super, super, super light, but like I can build the muscle back up to compensate for that. When you separate your AC joint, it doesn't like come back together. The ligaments will regrow, but it doesn't. I have a little gargoyle shoulder. If you ever like really look, I have a little like gargoyle peak here. You can't quite tell because of my trap, but like it is there. Yeah. And so it's just one of those things where like I think that one, it's helped me recover, and two, it's one of those things where it does give me a little bit of armor or padding to a degree. Just can't get too lean.
Yeah. Oh, you know, you mentioned Jordan Grace. Good. You know, what a transformation for her too. Like I have her on Instagram, and every week I'm like, what? Even more? Like it's even crazier the next week. You know,
for real.
It's insane. But yeah, congrats to her for that. What else? So, what was the first wrestling match that you ever saw that got you that you were like, I'm going to become a wrestler?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know. I remember watching the Attitude Era as a kid. And so like everything kind of blurs together in terms, I'm trying to think of what, like my first memory that I was like, oh, this is so cool. I just remember watching it with my dad, and it was the best time where like wrestling was cool. Like, you know, like there was the Attitude Era and they had all the coolest guys. I don't even know if it was a match. It was probably like some.
Or a wrestler that you saw that you were like, ooh, I want to do that.
probably like Stone Cold when he assaulted Mr. McMahon when he was in the hospital bed. I'll take it from here, nurse.
Oh, yeah. That was good. That was good.
That was like an all-time moment. Yeah.
I always, you know, I wrestled in high school and I wanted to pursue the career, but I just kept injuring myself over and over and over. And eventually it was like, you can't do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, doctors like, your body's going to fall apart if you keep trying to do this. But for me, it was fucking Macho Man, dude. I'm a little older than you, but I met Macho Man and Hulk at some weird party. My buddy invited me to some yacht party with his rich ass parents. I was poor, and I felt like he was inviting me just to show off his brown friend, you know. But I didn't give a fuck because it was a yacht party and a boat pulls into the port and Macho and Hulk are in the front of the fucking posing, taking pictures and shaking hands. And when I met that, I was like, that's not a human. That's a monster. They're huge monsters. And I just from that moment on, I'm like, that's it. I'm gonna pursue everything to do with wrestling.
I saw Macho one time at like the Tampa airport when I was a kid. He was like walking around. And I was just like, oh, that guy's
what,
cool.
What era? Like... NWO era.
it must have been because he was in like black and white.
Because he got jacked for NWO.
Yeah, he was like at his most. Yeah.
Or actually, Bonesaw was his most jacked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bonesaw's ready.
Yeah, it must have been around like it must have been late 90s. So that was probably NWO.
Oh shit. All right. Last question I have, and it's a weird one.
Good. Let's get weird.
What's the worst smell you've smelled in the ring? And if you're willing to throw someone under the bus, who was it?
Worst smell.
Because I've smelled some rank gear before. And also like Gold Bond. A lot of Gold Bond.
You know, I've actually been pretty lucky with no one, like their gear or anything smelling too bad. But there's another one where I was like, I don't know, I was maybe like 6 months into wrestling or something. I was pretty young in the game. I'm wrestling on this show in Golden, Colorado, and I'm wrestling this guy and whatever, everything's going fine. And I gave him like a knee to the like midsection from like the side, kind of like the old Lesnar, like where they're kind of on all fours. Boom, knee to the gut. He immediately just rolls out of the ring and he starts climbing under the ring. And I'm like, fuck, what's going? So like I jump out. I grab his leg and I start pulling him out, and he's like resisting, like he's like swimming for his life to go under the ring. And I'm like, what the fuck? Is he gonna like hit me with a chair? Like, I'm not down to get hit with a wet. Why is he doing this? What's going on? And finally, he looks back and I see some puke on his face. I go, oh, and I just drop him and I roll in the ring and I go to the ref and I go, count him out.
Oh, God.
Just start counting.
Have you been in the ring with someone who shit themselves before? I know Mr. Juice Robinson shat his pants in New Japan once.
Here's what the thing is. I'm sure I have. I just didn't know it.
Oh, okay.
I think everyone has had, at the very least, a very, very, very close scare.
Yeah.
It's always on, like, dumb stuff where, like, you're just not ready for it. Like, I had a close call on someone stomped me, and I just wasn't, like, ready. I just wasn't clean. Like, it wasn't, like, a hard stomp. It wasn't, like, anything crazy. It was just... I was just laying there. I felt a stomp, and I was like, oh, that was really, oh, boy. Good thing I'm not wearing white. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can imagine, like, the coup de grace from Finn Balor when, like, from the top rope stomping you on the stomach. Like, I would shit myself immediately, instantly.
Amazing no one has yet.
Dude. I mean, I'm sure they have, like you said. You just don't know about it.
Yeah. If we watch the tape back and we see someone limping to the back, but they didn't have any damage to their leg, hey. You're like, I think I knew what happened.
Take a look at the tights. You just see a little movement in the tights.
You know what? I actually did witness someone in college shit themselves in a college wrestling match.
Oof.
Like the dude basically called injury time and then like ran out of the arena and then tried to come back in a different singlet. And they're like, no, you're like disqualified. Can't just do that.
Well, also, by the way, I'm not trying to bury Juice Robinson. I know he's got a promising career in AEW, but it's one of the funniest things because he actually played into it afterwards in his post-match promo. If you haven't seen that, it's hilarious. And he was wearing white pants. Kind of hard to miss. But anyway.
That's what you get for being that confident. Anyone that wears white pants, I'm like,
dude, yeah.
Man, you're asking for something bad to happen.
And I know wrestlers love hot sauce, too. And I'm like, how are you not shitting yourself all of the time. Anyway, from poo poo talk to WWE talk, I have a couple stories that we need to go through before I let you go, if you're okay with that.
Let's do it.
Top story today is John Cena burying Austin Theory on live television was hilarious. Me being the researcher that I am, I found out that there was no producer for this bit. It was just John Cena.
He produced his own burial for Austin.
And yeah, he came on the screen and told him, and you know, and this is how you know Vince is not really in control anymore, because John Cena on national television was like, at least they don't need to pump fake crowd noise in my matches so that people think I'm exciting. I'm like, oh, woo, pulling the curtain back, because everybody knows that there's pumped sound. I mean, it's obvious. It started being more obvious during the pandemic when there was no crowd. But now it's a little, you know, they're trying to be more subtle about it, but it's still there. But yeah, that was amazing. John Cena, I mean, honestly, I've never been a big fan of his wrestling. Hate me if you want. I like him more as an actor. I know John wouldn't agree with me at all, but I just, you know.
You don't like Big Match John? I feel like he had some classics there, I think.
My issue is that he calls the moves too loud. It's like a
tackle drop down. You don't like that?
It's like a fucking.
Something for the whole fan, you know?
It's like Street Fighter. It's like Street, who can, like, clothesline. Like, it's a, you know, tone it down a little bit. It's fine, you know.
He does like burying people, though. He did, remember the Roman Reigns? Oh, you'll get it, kid. Oh, come on, get back to it, whatever. And then he like broke the fourth wall. This is called a promo, kid, and whatever. Like,
yeah.
He did the Rock. Did you get a new tattoo? Like,
he can do whatever Nexus, he wants.
He buried the fuck out of them. That was in ring, but you know.
Whenever you make the company that much money, they let you do whatever you want.
Yeah,
and he does. You know, he also does the other work.
Now I'm sure if I ever went there, he would.
No, absolutely.
Let me. Your turn to get the shovel.
Secondly, we had some more development in the Bloodline story that's been dominating the headlines for, I don't even know now, for months, 6 months. I don't know how long it's been, but they've been teasing if Jay is going to leave. He's not. On Raw, they got me, though. I'll tell you that. I was watching. When Jay came out, he gave Sami Zayn a hug. The crowd went fucking bananas, which that's what I watch it for, to be honest. Like, I like the wrestling moves, I like the hits, but when I hear a good pop, I don't care what the fuck's going on. Like, great, you're doing a good job.
A good pop can make an okay segment amazing.
Yeah.
And a lack of any kind of pop can make something that's really, really good kind of be like,
Yeah. And that happens with, like, some matches, like... Like, I remember, I forget which Mania it was, we finally got AJ Styles and Nakamura, and I was like, you know, a little kid, I'm like, fuck yes! And then it was a fart. Mm. Like, the crowd was dead, and I'm just like, what the hell is going on? You know, and they were putting on a good match. There wasn't any botches. It was solid wrestling, but the crowd was dead, and it kind of just brought everything down. It sucks.
Yeah.
And the same, you know, and that goes for crowds and everything. Like, when I go to a concert, and the band's up there fucking shredding or something, and the crowd's just standing there. I come on, move around.
Yeah.
Man. But anyway, so Jay obviously picked family. After he hugged Sami Zayn and got that huge pop, he went and got an even bigger pop when he super kicked Sami in the face right after. So it seems like we're obviously going to get the Usos versus Sami and KO at Mania. But... KO didn't come out for the save. It was Cody Rhodes. So now there's rumors that, I forget, there was another segment that they recorded some interview, and in the background, which they've been doing that a lot lately, in the background, Cody was talking to KO. So if you're like sleuthing and like paying attention, you'll notice they're doing little background things. And seems like a triple threat or something, or, you know, maybe KO, Cody, Sammy versus Usos and Solo or whatever. I don't know. The point is, it's starting to feel, I was starting to get excited that Cody might take the belt from Roman, but now I don't know. Now I don't know. Now I really don't know what's going to happen. I feel like they're really going to push Roman Reigns to beat Bruno Sammartino's 2000 and whatever many days as champion. And that's...
No, how much longer does he have?
Dude, he just hit like 900 not too long ago. He's got 1,400 days.
Yeah, that's too.
That's too much. No one's gonna beat it
in the. It's just not possible.
It's too much.
Because that was like an 8-year reign or whatever.
Though. Yeah, it's ridiculous. I don't want it. No, I don't think anybody wants it. But we'll see. I'm still invested in the storyline. There's still really good, you know, acting going on. Everybody on the internet's like, "Ooh, give Jey Uso an Oscar." I agree. Great acting, and the action, and they're all solid wrestlers too. So, I'm here for it. Next up. Vinnie Mac is apparently roaming around gorilla position on Monday Night Raw with a mustache after many years of hating facial hair. He didn't want the facial hair to win for whatever reason.
Is that a real thing?
That's a real thing. He hated facial hair.
But I'm now screwed.
Yeah, right. Well, he's not in charge anymore, even though he's sitting at Gorilla the entirety of Monday Night Raw. But technically not in charge anymore. He's still in charge. Yeah, so that's a big story on Twitter, Vinnie Mac with a mustache. I posted the picture on our stories. I might post it every week from now on because it's just the creepiest thing I've ever seen in my life. Oh, man. All right, moving along. AEW news. They have Mr. Tony Khan gave one of the weirdest fucking promos I've ever seen. I mean, he's got a good collection of weird promos that he's given, but this one was exceptionally weird. He kept repeating words. He kept mentioning that it's in Winnipeg. He kept mentioning AEW. Like it felt like he punched in and chat GPT. Like, please write me a promo for this. And then it's like a robot. It felt like a robot. If you really want to just look up the clip, I might post it too. And it's just insane. But the big, huge announcement was that the All-Atlantic Championship, which has the Japanese flag on it, so it's not Atlantic. Finally, I guess they realized that. And they're changing the belt to the AEW International Championship. Cool. Kind of sounds like intercontinental, international.
WCW had an international, didn't they, or something like that? I believe so. I could be wrong, but there's definitely been international.
If it's WCW, it's like you keep taking steps into becoming the new WCW, which we all saw how that worked out. But hopefully this is good. We got Orange Cassidy versus Double J Jeff Jarrett for the International Championship next week. I hope Jeff Jarrett wins.
Wow. It's a strong opinion.
I know everybody likes Orange Cassidy. I like him too. He's when he works, but it's Jeff Jarrett.
He has had quite the comeback. He's been like the comeback story of the year, huh?
Dude, I mean, even before, like when he did GCW for a little bit, as the Man in Black with Effie and all that, I was just kind of like, wow, look at it. And he's in great shape. I mean, for his age, I guess.
Absolutely.
So it'd be cool to see an Impact Impact Jeff Jarrett. They keep calling him and Jay Lethal Team Impact on the internet, so that's fun. But yeah, do yourself a favor and watch TK announce that because it's insane. Next, the last story that I have, really. Powerhouse Hobbs became TNT champion.
California's own.
Yeah.
Represent.
I love Hobbs. He deserves that championship. The way they've done this was awful because that belt has changed hands like 4 times this month or in the last month or so, 30 days. It devalues the belt. When you're taking it from Samoa Joe to Wardlow to, you know, back to Joe to back to Wardlow to now Hobbs, like in such quick fashion, like it feels like the fucking 24/7 title. You know what I mean? I hopefully they give Hobbs a long reign so that he can maybe rebuild some value to it. Cause honestly, it just feels worthless right now.
Yeah. Hot potato belt will definitely do that. I have faith in Hobbs though. Like he's definitely like, he's an act that has grown so much under them. Like, I wrestled him actually a couple times in Northern California just when he was on the come up. And to see his growth from back then to now is absolutely crazy. So I think it's one of those things that as long as they don't just, like, kneecap him and take it off him immediately or whatever and let him work and build for a little bit, I think he's going to have a really good reign.
Fuck, yeah. I mean, again, I'm a big fan. He also came out to I met him at the Republic of Lucha, and we did Earl did a stand-up set there in front of him, and you know, good guy. I'm happy for him. I like the whole Book of Hobbs thing. That was awesome. Again, I feel AEW just has good ideas, and then they just kind of fumble the execution sometimes. And that's one of those. Like, you know, they should have just left that belt on Samoa Joe and have Hobbs beat Joe. It would have looked better for Hobbs. Like, hey, you beat Samoa Joe. Like, you know, a reigning champion, two belt. You know, I don't know. I'm being opinionated because I'm not a wrestler, so I can say whatever I want. But I just think it could have been handled better. But anyway, we have some shows coming up. We are doing March 29th here in the main room, not Sam-a-mania. Sam Roberts is going to be on the stage. He's going to be bringing some special guests. As I've mentioned before, everyone's in town because WrestleMania week. Every company's doing shows. I think GCW is doing like 36 shows that weekend. The Collective, they have like a whole schedule. It's insane. But everyone's in town, so you never know who's going to pop in for Sam's show. The show is sponsored by Broken Skull Beer, which is Steve Austin's beer. So maybe that's a hint as to who one of the surprise guests may be. I don't know. I'm not booking the show. But something tells me that that's what's going to happen. And then I'm going to get really drunk that night.
oh, hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. Dude, it is my life goal to share a beer with Steve Austin. That's it. That's all I want to do. I want to do one of these. I want half of the beer to pour all over me, and then I'll drink the rest. So that's the 29th. Tickets are almost all gone. Please get your tickets, comedystore.com. March 30th, we're doing, as I mentioned earlier, Hunkamania in the Belly Room. Nick and Ryan Nemeth, Nick being Dolph Ziggler, will be in-house. There are some surprise guests for that as well, potentially an Orange Cassidy, potentially a Big Bill. You know, numerous people will be in-house. Maybe you will be here if you want to come hang out and challenge Dolph.
maybe yes on the first part, no on the second
Just
part.
Come hang out.
Yeah, I'll hang.
See what happens. But yeah, that'll be fun. Tickets for that are on sale. I'm going to be at Bloodsport 9 on the 30th as well, 4 p.m., and that's where you're going to catch Royce here against Johnny Bloodsport.
Against Johnny Knocked the Fuck Out is going to be his last name.
Okay, okay. Johnny Knocked the Fuck Out. I'm sorry, John. I'm sorry. We love you here at Comedy Store Wrestling, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough match for you. But go check out Bloodsport, 4 o'clock at the Ukrainian Center. And then, yeah, we'll be at WrestleMania, I'm sure. I'm going to probably go to Ring of Honor on Friday. I don't know. There's so many shows. It's going to be a tough week.
It's a crazy week for sure.
And what day is Mitzvah Mania again?
Mitzvah Mania Sunday. Sunday the 2nd. I think earlier on in the day or something like that.
Sunday the 2nd.
Yeah. And then
The 31st is your six man. As well,
is that the Friday? Yeah, it's the 31st. Yeah. The 31st is that six man at the Globe Theater for Prestige Wrestling. So, obviously, also if anyone knows, like the Globe is where PWG runs. Like that's a really dope historic venue. So that's gonna be a sick show.
Yeah, if you are in town for Mania and can't go because it's sold out or because you don't have $10,000, many other amazing shows will be happening in town that week. So yeah, please come hang out with us, Royce. Thank you so much for hanging out with us here on the show. Tell everybody in that camera there where they can find you and everything else. Plug away.
All right. My home address is... No. Instagram at Royce Isaacs. Twitter. I think it's a bunch of Japanese kanji. So just either search for Royce Isaacs or Mile High Samurai. And that's probably the only way you want to contact me. If you want to get a t-shirt or something, ProWrestlingTees/Royce Isaacs. And other than that, just send me your love from afar. Please don't try to contact me.
Yeah, don't contact them. Don't send them any dick pics, okay?
Definitely none of those.
You can follow me at RRBG Podcast, where you catch me interviewing other wrestlers that don't come here, or musicians, or actors and comedians. Please follow the show at Comedy Store Wrestling on Instagram, at Store Is War on Twitter. And Comedy Store Studios as well, which is the producers of the show. Thank you so much for watching. We'll see you next week.